Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get a copy of Courageous Parenting. But first, here's the message, the life you were born to give.
Take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 13. And I'm calling this message, the life you were born to give. Love is to be sincere and active, the real thing, without guile and hypocrisy. Hate what is evil. Detest all ungodliness. Do not tolerate wickedness. Hold on tightly to what is good. Be devoted to one another with authentic brotherly affection. As members of one family, give preference to one another in honor. Never lagging behind in diligence, aglow in the Spirit, enthusiastically serving the Lord, constantly rejoicing in hope because of our confidence in Christ, steadfast and patient in distress, devoted to prayer, continually seeking wisdom, guidance, and strength, contributing to the needs of God's people, pursuing the practice of hospitality. Now, in that short paragraph, Paul gives some staccato-like imperatives, commands as to how then we are to live this life that we have been given. And it's all about love. It's all about love. And when you think about it, that's what the Bible is all about. And so God Himself is love. And this love is most beautifully and powerfully expressed in Jesus Himself, and it is poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, the fruit of the Spirit is, and at the top of the list, love. Love is the priority for every believer in Christ to be letters to the world, if you will, of God's love and God's grace. So what is this love? Paul describes it. And I want to give you some sentences that will help you understand. In some ways, I've been looking at this passage and turning it over in my mind all week long. In some ways, you just need to say it and read it and meditate on it. But I want, not much I can add to what is here, but I just want to amplify, as I read it in the Amplified Version, and help us all to remember what God has called us to do as we love one another. First of all, love is true. Love is true. He says in verse 9 that love is to be genuine, that it is to be without hypocrisy. You probably know, we've talked about it before, that the word hypocrite comes from the Greek stage. And as actors would wear a mask and play a part, and they would often play multiple parts. Men were the actors in those days, so they would play female parts, male parts, children's part, but they would wear a mask for each one of their characters. And so the New Testament, and Jesus in particular, used the word hypocrite. He spoke of this whole thing of wearing a mask and pretending to be someone that you're not. So love is not pretentious. Love is not phony. It is not fake. It is not manipulative. It is true and it is transparent. One of the most vivid illustrations in the Bible of love with hypocrisy is Judas, who betrayed the Lord with a kiss, with feigned, phony love. Love is real. The word for love in this passage is agape. That's the word for God's love, the sacrificial love of the cross, the love that is not self-interested but others focused. All of the love of God, the love of Christ is in that word agape. And this is the way we are to love one another, with true love, agape love. Now, I just want you to consider a few words or a few scriptures about this kind of love, this true love. 1 Corinthians 13:13, so now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is agape, which is love. Romans 13:8, owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. What did Jesus say? He said, the first commandment, love the Lord your God, heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. That is the fulfillment of the law. And then in the upper room, Jesus spoke of his love and the transfer of his love to his followers. And he said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. But here's the key phrase, as I have loved you. And as he's washing the feet of those disciples and serving them, as I have loved you, he loved them to the end. Even in their bickering and in their unbelief and all the rest, those disciples, he loved them to the end, all the way to the cross and beyond. He said, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. I can't love like that, but Christ in me can. His Spirit enables us to love as Jesus loves. And then verse 35, key verse for the Christian life. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Do you remember when Simon Peter failed the Lord and he was so brokenhearted because he denied the Lord three times? And then after the three times, Peter said, I'm going fishing. He had failed so much, probably feeling like he had fallen out of the favor of God. He had failed the Lord so much. He was weeping profusely. He said, I'm going fishing. I don't think he was going there for recreation. He was going back to his old way of life. He went back to the Sea of Galilee. And then Christ met him there, the risen Christ, all the disciples. And he restored Simon Peter. And when he restored him in love, he said, Simon, do you love me? And three times he asked him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Giving Peter the opportunity three times as he had denied him three times, now to say, yes, Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you. And what did Jesus say? He said, then feed my sheep. And Peter rose up, later filled with the Holy Spirit, to be the great evangelist and apostle. Because you see, this love, even when we fail, even when we're phony, even when we don't love Christ the way we ought to love Christ, he will restore us and renew us in his love. And then he says, all right, I want you to go. If you love me, go and love people that I love. Love is true. The Christian life is a life of authentic love that demonstrates itself in genuine service and sacrifice for others. One day, a young lawyer came to Jesus. He was a religious lawyer. And he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus talked to this rich young ruler about this life in Christ and how he could be saved, and he went away sad. On another occasion, a man came to Jesus and he asked another question. He said, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told him a story. You know it as the story of the Samaritan. Some call it the Good Samaritan. You most likely, if you know your Bible, know this story about how this man was going down to Jericho. He was beaten to within an inch of his life by robbers and thieves. And then along came the Pharisees and the religious people, and they passed him by, went the other way. They saw him, looked the other way. And then a certain Samaritan came along, and he ministered to him and served him and showed him hospitality and bound his wounds and all the rest. You know, there are three kinds of people in life that you're going to encounter. They're the people who will beat you up. They're the people who will pass you up. And then they're the people who will pick you up. And love doesn't pass by on the other side. Love doesn't beat people up and beat people down. Love picks people up. Amen. And so this is authentic love. It gets down in the dirt. It gets down in the grind. And the first priority for every Christian is to give your life away. In fact, if you want to know if you're a Christian or not, then listen to the words of John in 1 John when he says, if anyone is my disciple, then love the brothers. If you have love for one another, he said, if you don't love the brothers, if you don't love the church, then you don't love me. We demonstrate the genuineness of our faith, listen to me, by the genuineness of our love. That's first. True love. But not only is love true, but love, watch this, is tough. It sounds counterintuitive. Love is tough. But verse 9, the second portion of that tells us that that we are to abhor that which is evil and cling to what is good. So let me say that love is not soft, it is not shallow, it is not sentimental. Love is strong. Love is muscular. And this love abhors that which is evil. And the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit here, uses a word that actually means detest evil, despise it, and hate it. When you love God, you will hate evil. You will detest it in every way. Williams translates this, you must always turn in horror from what is wrong. So this is love. Psalm 97 verse 10 says, you that love the Lord hate evil. And then Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. So love is tough when it comes to dealing with truth.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham, and today's message, The Life You Were Born to Give. God commissioned parents as the first line of defense for a child's heart. And in a culture characterized by defiance and disobedience, it's all the more important to raise children who will love, serve, and honor the Lord. That's why we want to send you the new edition of Dr. Graham and his wife Deb's book, Courageous Parenting. This parenting classic dives deep into what it takes to be the kind of mom or dad that models God's heart for your kids. Courageous Parenting is our thanks for your gift today. So call now to request your copy of Courageous Parenting when you give. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word parent to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or give a gift online or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Now let's get back to today's message, The Life You Were Born to Give.
I was thinking, how is it possible for you to hate, to love people, but hate evil? By clinging to that which is good. And the word that he uses here to cling is the same words describing the marriage bond. Let a husband cling to his wife, cleave to his wife, Old King James. It's a word which means glue, to stick like glue. So we are glued to good. We cherish what is good. We are not overcome with evil, but we overcome evil with good. We know that there is evil and we are to detest it in every way. There is evil in the world. So what are we to do? We're to stand up for what is right against everything that is wrong. So how can you do this as a Christian and still love? We're not to be angry. We can be angry and sin not, but it's not to raise our fists, but it's open our hands in love, and we are to cling to that which is good and what is right. And we cling to love in loving people who have made terrible mistakes and sinned against God. We hate those things which kill and destroy the souls of men and women. But how do we respond? By clinging to that which is good, not by compromising, not by tolerating, not by negotiating or making a deal with the devil, but by loving people unconditionally while hating and despising the sin that destroys within them. So I could give you many illustrations. If you're a doctor and if you love health, you hate disease. So love is tough. Love is discerning. It speaks the truth in love. We're to never endorse or condone bad behavior or tolerate evil, because God is holy and God's love is a pure and righteous love. We can never be neutral about evil. What is right is right. What is wrong is wrong. What we're actually told here is abhor that which is evil can also be described as run from everything evil in your life. Run from it. In fact, the scripture says, avoid the very appearance of evil. Anything that is suspicious in our lives, even a hint of scandal. When evil shows up, we go the other direction. That's what we're learning. This is what love does. Instead, cling to good. Stay glued to good and what comes from God. It means hold tightly. This is moral goodness. It's always right to do right. It's always wrong to do wrong. And it's never wrong to do what is right. Keep clinging, keep cherishing Christ, who is the greatest good, who is God. Keep yourself, Jude said, 23 of Jude, keep yourself in the love of God. That is, keep clinging to the love of God. Keep cherishing this love. So love is true. Love is tough. And then verse 10 tells us that love is tender. For he says, be kindly affectionate to one another. Genuine affection. And there's a couple of words that are put together here, but it really means brotherly love, the love of family, of brothers and sisters, the love of close friends. Warm affection. It means to love deeply, to be deeply devoted to one another. Why? He's talking to God's people now. We are his people. We are his family. And God wants us to live together in harmony and unity. So love is tender. Yes, it's tough on the outside when it comes to things that are right and true, but it's tender on the inside. And this tenderness, it's like our tenderness. If you have grandchildren, you know how tender you are with your grandchildren. That's the kind of love that is being described here, tenderness. And then love is thoughtful. Love is thoughtful. Outdo one another in showing honor. Prefer one another in love, which means put one another first. Compete with one another in showing honor and deference and preference. Showing honor. Give honor to whom honor is due. And not only those who serve us up front, but those who serve behind the scenes. We're always giving honor. We're looking for ways to put others first and not ourselves. Not demanding our rights or expecting preferential treatment for ourselves or entitlement of some kind. I'm telling you, this is genuine humility, to put others in front of yourself. But then love is tenacious. Love is tenacious. That's verse 11. Now, this is one of my favorite verses. It says, not lagging behind. Not lagging behind, but serving the Lord. Not being a slackard. It's a word which means don't be lazy, but work hard, serving the Lord fervently. And that's a beautiful word picture as well. The idea of serving the Lord fervently is boiling over. It's not a picture of a light shining. It's a picture of a pot boiling over. This is our love for Christ. This is our service, that we are fervently serving the Lord, never lacking in zeal or earnestness or enthusiasm in the work God has called us to do. And that means all the days of our lives, we don't get weary in well-doing. I love 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding means always getting after it. Always serving the Lord, always working enthusiastically for the Lord, for you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Jesus had harsh words to say about a church and a people who were lukewarm. He said, I would rather you be cold all out against me or hot, but your tepidness, your laziness, your lethargy, this all is it makes me vomit. Jesus said, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth because of your lukewarmness. If I were to ask your friends, are you a on fire, boiling point Christian? What would they say? If I were to ask your children that question, are you an on fire believer, follower, servant of Jesus? In all earnestness, I'm telling you, the urgency and the emergency of our times, the times in which we are living, demands not a half-hearted effort on the part of the church, but a full throttle, full out, all in, earnest, enthusiastic, devoted, jealous, or zealous service of the Lord. This love is tenacious. It lasts. We stayed fired up. We stay in the work. We do what God has called us to do, and we keep doing it as long as we have breath. If you're not dead, you're not done serving the Lord. God has a plan. God has a purpose in your life. And so what he's saying, this is what love does. What motivates us to do this? Why? Because we're doing it for the love of God. We're compelled by the love of Christ. What Christ has done for us. We're serving God by serving others. And so finally, love is triumphant. Verse 12. He says three things very quickly there. He says, rejoicing in hope, being steadfast or persevering, patient in tribulation, and devout in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. I like the combination of those words. Live with a happy hope. We are living in joy because we have this hope and certainty that one day we'll keep serving and we'll keep doing these things because one day we hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what keeps me motivated, is the fact that we can keep rejoicing in this hope. And when you look at the world, what does the world need? The world needs the love of God, and it's found in the hope that is in Jesus Christ. And so we as Christians live with joyful expectation, with certainty in times of uncertainty, with confidence in times of chaos, because we have this sure hope. No matter how dark the world becomes, we rejoice in hope. And then we're patient in suffering. Because if you are living like this and you're boiling over for the Lord, think about it. If you're fired up for the Lord, some people are going to say, you are a fanatic. You are a total freak. You're a religious nut. And all the rest, if you're boiling over, if you're really serving the Lord, I'm not talking about showing off. That's shallow, hypocritical love. But if you're showing up and serving the Lord and doing it faithfully for him, then you will feel the pressure. The word he uses here is pressure. So we persevere in this pressure because we know in the end we win. Love wins because love never fails and nothing separates us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. We're comforted by these words and the truth that Christ is coming again. We wonder what's going to happen to the world. What's the world coming to? I'll tell you what the world is coming to. The world is coming to Jesus because Jesus is coming to this world. And this is the blessed hope. He is our hope. And love then puts us on our knees with praise and thanksgiving to God. We are devout in prayer and devout in calling on the name of the Lord. You know, I guarantee you, if you're under pressure, you're serving the Lord, you're boiling over, you want to keep going, and you are under pressure in serving the Lord in some way, I guarantee you that will drive you to your knees. So we pray. And we could do it constantly. We do it devotedly is the idea here. Prayer is an open channel for the Christian. The life prays. We have a clear channel always in prayer. And then one final thing, love is transferable. Because he says we're to show love by chasing hospitality and showing love to strangers, the outsiders. We're to love one another inside, but we're also to love people on the outside. And we're doing that by sharing Christ with our neighbors as well as the nations. People we don't know, strangers to us. But we give and we serve and we witness because this is what love does.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and today's message, The Life You Were Born to Give. There's a spiritual battle raging for the very souls of our children. And God has commissioned parents as the first and best line of defense to protect kids against the attacks of our culture and the enemy. We want to equip you to fight the good fight of faith for your family by sending Pastor Graham and his wife Deb's book, Courageous Parenting. This new edition offers practical advice and spiritual encouragement to help you guard, guide, and strengthen your child's faith so they can grow into bold followers of Jesus. And it's our special thanks for your gift today. Your support helps boldly proclaim God's word around the world through PowerPoint. So thank you for your gift today. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PARENT to 59789.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store or give a gift online or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Life today runs 100 miles a minute. It's Mach 5. And from the moment we wake up and the moment we finally put our heads on the pillow, there are so many things, thousands of things maybe, that are vying for your attention. But it's in the midst of all the stress and all the hustle and the hurry of life that we need to seek God's peace and God's grace and the promise of God's word and wisdom. And that's why I want you to spend time with the Lord every day, growing in your faith, developing as a disciple and follower of Jesus. And the Word of God in your life will help you develop spiritual muscle and strengthen you as you live the Christian life. This is the reason I want to really encourage you to get my daily email devotion PowerPoint today. We take God's Word, a specific point of it, and a promise in God's Word, and we deliver it with an application every single day. So many write to me or let me know how much the daily devotional means to them. And so I believe it will be something that would add blessing and strength to your life, help you manage the problems and the stresses and distresses of life. PowerPoint today will help you get the most and the best out of your life as you walk with Christ every day. So here's all you need to do to get the daily devotion PowerPoint today. Visit jackgraham.org, jackgraham.org, and sign up for PowerPoint today. That's jackgraham.org.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, we'll send you Dr. Graham's book, Courageous Parenting, as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PARENT to 59789. And join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how to respond in love to those who persecute you in anger. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.